Okay, let's get started in Vayishlach. So I really wanted to do today the topic of Shadal on the Gid Hanasha that comes up in this week's parsha. We usually translate that as the sciatic nerve, which we're forbidden to eat, right? The Gid Hanasha is in the back part of the animal, like along the leg area, and usually to save money, kosher butchers will just sell that off to a non-Jew, because you have to really know the laws and very carefully take off this nerve or this artery or this vein. I don't know exactly what it is, but you have to very carefully take it out. And it's like not worth the time for them, so they just they usually don't do it. But like there's certain parts of the steak that you actually is very rare to eat because you need a kosher butcher to do that. So which one is that? What cut of steak?
The certain part of the fillet, maybe. I don't know.
Filet mignon. Yeah, exactly. So, very good. Gavi would know these, right? What was the cause of Yaakov, of us not being able to have the Gid Hanasha? It says that Yaakov gets into a fight. He wrestles with a man. Doesn't say it's an angel, by the way. He wrestles with a man. Obviously, later in the story, he says, I saw the face of God. And it's very obvious that something mystical, or I don't know if we would call it mystical, but something divine is going on with Yaakov, because it's like he's afraid he's going to hit up against his brother Esav. He had split up the camp. He brought them back together. There's all things going on in his life. A lot of pressure moments. It's at night. He's going back and forth over the river, and he sees a man, and he wrestles with him. Obviously, something is happening here. There are some modern interpretations that say that Yaakov was wrestling with himself. Of course, the entire dialogue becomes very difficult with this being that says, why do you want to know my name? And ends up naming him Yisrael. Also, that he dislocates some part of his hip or his leg. It says in Lamed Bet Chavav, Vayar ki lo yacholo. And he saw, meaning the man or the angel, saw that he could not, meaning he was not able to overpower Yaakov. Vayiga b'kaf yerecho. So he touched his hip socket. Veteika kaf yerech Yaakov. And he removed or dislocated Yaakov's hip socket. Be'avek he'avko imo, in wrestling with him. Chav zayin. Apparently that's all he was able to do, because he said, the angel says to him, let me go, because it has become morning time, daybreak. He's a vampire, right? He says, I won't send you away, I won't let you go until you bless me.
Wait, does that mean every single story with the angels is at night?
Well, according to the Rambam, it always happens in sleep, so none of this is...
Angels
are all happening in a vision, according to the Rambam, so none of this is factual...
How does the Rambam explain this story?
Which part of the story?
The wrestling match.
He would say it's all a vision. Never actually happened in real life.
And Yaakov never was injured?
Oh, so that's the Ramban asked that question. It says, obviously he was injured, because it says that's the reason why we can't eat the Gid Hanasha today, is because of the injury of Yaakov. So there are different answers that are given in different Mefarshim. The Abarbanel tries to answer up this question for the Rambam. I think it's the Abarbanel, and he says that we know that people all the time move in their dreams, not necessarily sleepwalking, but you might... twist in the wrong way or something, wake up with a bad back because you struggled in your dreams. So it could be that Yaakov actually did have an effect through his dream. He jerked in the wrong way. His body moved in the wrong way, and he dislocated something. It's possible. Well, I think he actually goes towards the idea that the mind can affect the body, which we do have a concept like that. There is, I don't know how far that effect can go, but we do know that people who are generally happier and more content heal faster than people who are depressed. It happens to be true. So it could be that the effect in his brain had an effect on the body. It's possible. But if I were to give an answer for the Rambam doesn't believe that his hip was dislocated or whatever, the Gid Hanasha was affected, right? He believes this all happened in a vision. Why is that significant? Because visions are just as significant as the real thing. Just because it didn't happen in physical history doesn't mean it didn't happen in history. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning the things that happen in visions are just as true. I don't know. That's how I would answer for the room.
What does Shadal say?
What does Shadal say? I'm glad you asked. So maybe tomorrow I'll think about it. But the Shadal on this Gid HaNasha trying to identify what it is goes against Chazal. And we identify it generally in Halacha as the sciatic nerve. And Shadal thinks it's not the sciatic nerve. It's some nerve near the hip socket. Some nerve like much higher up. And so Dan Klein, who translates Shadal, has this very long footnote in translation, trying to explain why it's okay for Shadal to go against the accepted halachic practice interpreting the Torah. And he says, like, you know, the Rashbam does it, and many others say that there's a separation between figuring out pshat and figuring out the halacha. Halacha could be separate from the pshat. Chazal, or the tradition of how to, you know, meaning it could be true at the same time. And we actually did talk about this in other sessions about pshat versus drash. So that's what he offers there, although he changes his mind a little bit later. I think a few years later he published an article where he found a letter from Shadal that makes it sound like, no, that's really actually how it was. Shadal's interpretation here is how it really was in the original interpretation, pre-Mosaic law. And so he has to correct his understanding of his, you know, meaning his answer for Shadal was like, it's okay, you separated between the literary interpretation and the halachic interpretation. And then he changed his mind, Dan Klein, to say that it's okay, Chazal have the power to understand the law differently than how it was originally understood in terms of the law itself, which gets you into dicey territory, but it definitely fits with other places in Shadal. Again, we talked about in previous, we talked about all the way in the beginning when we started in Bereshit about how Italian rabbis were a little bit maverick when it comes to philosophy and how it fits with Torah and Torah Mada. And Shadal is definitely a very creative person in this area. So if he disagrees, so one of the areas where he disagrees with the prevailing notions of the halachic tradition is that usually we understand halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and accepted halacha that has no disagreement on it as going all the way back to Sinai. Like that's how to understand the Torah. But Shadal felt that Chazal understood the Torah for the needs of their time, and also if they were looking towards the future, they might have understood the Torah in a certain way, which might be different than previous generations understood the Torah or understood certain halachic paradigms. So another example of this, all the way in at the end of the Exodus, is that it says that Kol Ben Echar Lo Yochabo, that you can a Ben Nechar cannot eat of the Karban Pesach. What does Ben Nechar mean?
Child of a non-Jew.
Right, Nechar meaning a foreigner, right? Non-Jew. And so it means a Ben Nechar is like the same thing as Bar Mitzvah. It doesn't mean the son of a Mitzvah. It means a person who is of the status of Mitzvah. So here it's of the status of a Nechar. So usually we would interpret that as a non-Jew. Right? Non-Jew can't eat of the Karban Pesach, specifically for Jews. Shadal said, but however, Rashi and Onkelos also, and Chazal, understand the Ben Nechar is meaning a Jew who becomes an apostate. He becomes hitnacher. He becomes a foreigner. Instead of a foreigner, he makes himself into a foreigner. Shadal says both are actually true. The pshat is true, and the halacha is what happened when the rabbis saw that there was a proliferation of heresy in their times. They realized that they need to really set down the law. They need to show people what's what. So they decided that they were going to interpret this pasuk as saying that any person who becomes a heretic can't eat of the Karban Pesach, which probably affected a lot of heretics that they said, oh, maybe I won't be a heretic. Maybe I should go back to this thing because I want to eat of the Karban Pesach. I want to be part of the Jewish people. But the rabbis set that into law. So Shadal is saying that that Chazal were influenced by their history, by their society, which can be proto-reform, because reform and conservative Judaism generally see in their halachic interpretation of the Gemara and of the Rishonim as being products of their time, and therefore can be updated according to the times. So that becomes a dangerous idea. Now, Shadal might respond to those and say, just because I'm interpreting, what Chazal did, Chazal were authoritative. I am accepting Jewish law as it is. It doesn't matter if it was a product of the time. It matters what the authority of the creators of halacha have. And they had ultimate authority. And it's still, by the way, that could still be applicable today. Meaning if we were to come back to the creation of, if the Beis HaMikdash was recreated and we went back to Karbana and we had the Karban Pesach, it could very well be that wouldn't change. That just because it's a product of the time doesn't mean it is out of date necessarily. Okay. In this case, so he interprets the Gita Nasha slightly differently. So I might, maybe just because I talked about it right here, I won't talk about it tomorrow. But it's a fascinating world for Shadal. Okay. So here, let's just... Well, very short comment. We're trying to understand the story. So again, a man attacks Yaakov. Yaakov is basically like at least at a stalemate that they are just wrestling, and the man is able to just touch his hip, and his leg is dislocated. So Shadal says like this on Lamed Bet Chafav. It says like this: V'hine piruk hayerech, when his thigh was dislocated, minaka, from the bone, from the socket. This obviously was not a natural event. You can't just touch someone's hip and it gets dislocated. It could be that if you use certain surgical materials, you can maybe make something happen, but you can't do that from the outside. All he needed was to touch it, this man. At that point, Yaakov must have realized that something's going on here. He might have wrestled with a man thinking that he wasn't just a regular man. That the man comes, we're fighting, or whatever, like a troll under a bridge, or whatever. And Yaakov was not sure why he's engaging in this. And he wrestles with the man, and he's almost winning. And then the man damages his leg. So Yaakov might have understood at that point, oh, this is an angel. This is something going on here. But even if he thought, says Shadal, that if something was going on here, something more than just natural, he might not have known this was an angel. How do I know, says Shadal, that he probably didn't think of him as an angel? Because he asks him very strange things. Or he says very strange things. He says, if you thought he was a malach, I won't send you until you bless me. Right? Why would he ask him to bless him as an angel? Why would an angel be able to bless him? He wouldn't have said, I will not let you go. If he saw that this was an angel, he knew that he would have no power to hold him. Right? So it must be that he still thought he was like a physical person. And he also wouldn't have asked the angel, what's your name, if he thought it was an angel. I don't know why, for Shadal, he wouldn't have asked what the angel's name was, but maybe Shadal assumes that angels don't have names, at least to Yaakov's mind, and that he would only ask somebody his name if it was an actual person.
Do they have names?
In Tanakh we find names, and in Chazal we find names. It could be that in terms of the story, why would he want to know the name of an angel? How would that help Yaakov? Now, if it was an actual man, he might have wanted to know, who are you? Nearly, seems to me, says Shadal, that he thought this man was a holy man, meaning a prophet of some kind. Kilomar Navi, shiyesh biyado lasot nisim biratzon shalcho, lo bekocho. It could be that he thought that this is a prophet who has the ability to perform miracles, and maybe that's the reason why his leg got dislocated. God wanted this to be his thought. Meaning, the angel doesn't say, I am an angel. So why? Because God wanted this to happen. So that he'll ask for a blessing, which he might not have asked for an angel. And so that the angel will end up giving him a blessing. And Yaakov will feel very protected by this this blessing. If you thought it was a prophet who had the ability to perform miracles, then Yaakov receiving the blessing from this prophet would have been very confident in his confrontation with Esav, and things go correctly because of that. And he would rely on that, and he would not be afraid. So God wanted to provide Yaakov with a sense of security by making him wrestle with a man who he thinks is a man, but is actually an angel, that he would demand a blessing from the angel that he thinks is a man, and receive a blessing, and then be confident in his confrontation with Yaakov, with Esav, and all of this is a blessing from God. And some, I guess we could say in our own lives, we don't even know sometimes the things that are giving us confidence might be indeed ordained so that we will be able to go ahead and do the important things that we have to do with our lives, and give us the inspiration to move forward. The Rambam says that the lowest form of prophecy is the inspiration or the compulsion to do something good for others. So we don't even realize sometimes where our inspiration comes from, where we're being pushed to do something or realize that we have confidence to do something. And here, you know, God is putting the pieces in place for Yaakov to be confident in his confrontation with Esav, that he would be successful, and everything will be good. All right, Shkoyach.